Amen. Hallelujah. Alright, why the word of God or faith seems unproductive? We continue from where we stopped. I think this should be like the fifth in the series. Why the word of God or faith seems unproductive? Hallelujah. Why the word of God seems unproductive? And let's quickly read our text from Matthew chapter 4. We'll begin reading from verse 13. Matthew chapter 4 from verse 13. Hallelujah. It says, and he said to them, alright, give it to me in King James. King James, alright. And he said unto them, know ye not this parable? And how then will ye know all parables? 14. It says, the sower soweth the word. And what happened? And these are they by the wayside where the word is sown. But when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. And these are they likewise which were sown on stony ground, who when they have heard the word, immediately received it with gladness. Then what happened? He said, and have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution ariseth, for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. And these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word. Go ahead. And the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things, entering him, choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. And these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word, and receive it, and bring forth fruit, some 30, some 60, and some 100. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And I've been looking at this scripture, and we saw that there are three key parameters there. There was a sower who never changed all through the episode or the encounter. And then we have the second parameter, which was what? The seed. And the seed was the same, and it was sown on different soil. But we said the third parameter was what? The soil. And that was the only variable, because the sower was the same, the seed was the same, but the sower, but the soil, which is the heart of man, changed. And we have four types of heart, and we began looking at them, and we have x-rayed three out of them. Hallelujah. We have looked at the wayside, we have looked at which one? The rocky ground, and we have looked at which one? The thorny ground. And we have looked at them in depth. Hallelujah. But today, let's look at where. Let's go to where we are going. The good ground. You know, the interesting thing is this. That man did so well. He kept sowing. He kept sowing. He kept sowing seed. Until finally, he arrived at the good soil. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. He arrived. One day, he just traveled and he arrived at the good soil. And finally, he dropped the seed on the good soil and it began to germinate. But you know what? Something happened in that place. In the good soil, it fruited, it took root, it fruited, but he still said something interesting. He said, it brought forth fruit. Some, how much? 30-fold, 60-fold, and 100-fold. On the good soil. Even on the good soil, not everybody performed maximally. Not every seed germinated to their full potentials. Hallelujah. But today, we are not looking at why they produce 30, why they produce 60, why they produce 100. That might be a story for next week. Hallelujah. But today, I want us to look at the good soil. What are the qualities of a good soil? What are the things that we look at and say, finally, this is a good soil. This is a place to sow my seed. Or what are the things that makes a soil good? What are the things? And I'm sure you still remember that the soil we are talking about is what? The condition of the heart of a man. The conditions of the heart of a man. The conditions of the heart of a man are the things that determine the soil. But finally, this man got to the good soil. I was doing a research in the course of the week, and I discovered that if you plant a grain, just a grain of wheat, on a good soil, if it starts to produce the minimum amount of other grains that it brings forth is 100. That's the minimum. Hallelujah. Just one grain, when you plant it, by the time it has fruited, what do you have? At least a minimum of 100 other grains. Hallelujah. Why? It was planted on a good soil. So what are the characteristics of a good soil? And that's what we want to x-ray this morning. But before then, let's quickly look at this scripture again. Mark chapter 4 verse 20. You know, this scripture, this parable appeared in three of the synoptic gospels. And let's quickly read the versions. Number one, Matthew chapter 4 verse 20. Alright. It says, "And these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word and receive it and bring forth fruit, some 30, some 60, and some 100. Can I have it in the Amplified? It says, "And these sown on the good, well adapted soil are the ones who hear the word and receive and accept and welcome it and bear fruit, some 30 times as much as was sown, some 60 times as much, and some even 100 times as much." Alright, Matthew chapter 13 verse 23. Matthew 13:23. Alright, just leave it in the Amplifier. It says, As for what was sown on good soil, this is he who hears the word and grasps and comprehends it. He indeed bears fruit and yields in one case 100 times as much as was sown, in another 60 times as much, and in another 30. Now let's go to Luke chapter 8 verse 8. If you notice in Matthew reversed the order. He started from 100, hallelujah, and then it went down. Praise the Lord. But now look at what was said in Luke. Luke said, "An order fell on good ground and sprang up and bear fruit, an 100-fold." Full stop. He didn't talk about 60. He didn't talk about 30. He said, "And when he had said these things, he cried. He said, 'He that has ears to hear, let him hear.'" Hallelujah. Bible says, when he had said this, he cried. Hallelujah. The outcry of God is for everybody to bring forth 100. Is to bring forth 100. So 100 is the perfect will of God for a man. 30 and 60 are permissive wills. They are not the plan. They are not the agenda. The real agenda of God. You know, God is a businessman. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And that's why in the book of Matthew chapter 25, if you start reading and studying the story of the parable in Matthew chapter 25, you will discover something interesting. He gave one 5. He gave another 2. And then he gave another one 1. The one he gave 5, when he came back, how many did he bring back? He brought back 5. The one that he gave 2, when he came back, how many did he come back? Or did he come back with? He came back with 2. That was what? 100%. In every case, it was 100%. Except the guy that went and buried his own. And the Bible even said, God said, collect it from him and give it to the one that brought forth 100, that has 5. And he said, to him that bringeth forth much, much shall be given. The agenda of God is for us to always produce 100%. To live maximally and to enjoy all the benefits of the things that he has put in place for us. But then before we can produce, let's look at the conditions of the heart. Let's look at the good soil. That even in the good soil, there are challenges. And you will discover, if you have been following me carefully, that most of the challenges that Jesus talked about the other ground are the things that we are conquered, or are the things that are supposed to be conquered in order for your heart to become good. Hallelujah. They are the things that needs to be conquered for your heart to become a good soil. And that's what we want to look at. So what are the qualities or the characteristics of a good soil? Number one, a good soil must be properly tilled, and it must not be compressed or compacted. It must be properly what? Properly tilled and not compacted. A good soil must be loose. A good soil must not be what? Compacted. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. A good soil must be loose. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. When I was much, much younger, my father had a farm. You know, my father was a veterinary man. But we had a farm. And we used to go to farm. Praise the Lord. And I discovered that anytime they want to farm, One of the first things they do is what? You know, look at the road in front of the church there. How do you see it? Can you plant anything there? You can't. Praise God. You won't. If you plant anything there, you are just wasting it. Why? Because it is what? It is a wayside. It is a road. Why? Every time they have you seen the road they are constructing along Pakugu Road? What do you think they are doing with the grader? What do you think a grader does? It compacts the ground. It compacts it. But a good soil must be loose. It must be loose. It must not be compacted. If it is compressed and compacted, nothing can grow in it. So the first thing they do when they want to sow on a particular land is to break it up. They break it up. What do they do? That's why they bring in a caterpillar to cultivate it. What are they doing when they are cultivating? Or they are using hoe on it? They are trying to turn the soil. They are trying to turn the soil. They are trying to break the soil. Why? Because it has been compacted. Now, a soil that is compacted, it is said, has about 5% allowance for air within it. And you know, this seed needs air to grow. But one that is loose and broken up has about 25% allowance for air. That's interesting. It has it. But then, many people need to understand this. Every one of us needs to come to terms with what we are talking about. Hallelujah. So if your life is compacted, I'm going to explain it better now. If it's compacted, it cannot allow seed to grow. Hallelujah. It won't. And that was why the one that was sown along the wayside didn't grow. Why? Because the Bible says men always tread on it. Any path that men used to tread, have you ever seen it in the forest before? Or even around your homes, where you have grass, the path that you normally follow, nothing grows there. Why? Because the soil along that path is compacted when you tread on it, or when you trek on it, or when you walk on it from time to time. In fact, in the olden days, that is how paths are created. You keep following, everybody follows that same path over and over and over and over again. And before you know what is happening, that path, nothing grows there. Again, why? Because it has been compressed. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So a good soil must not be what? Compacted. It must be properly tilled. So how does this apply to us? Number one, it should not be everything that goes in your life. Your life must have restrictions. Not everything must grow. Not everything must go in your life. Not everybody is welcome in your life. Some people's life, many things have so treaded on their path that they have become hardened. You must understand it. Not everything goes. Not every film you can watch. Hallelujah. You don't know what is happening to the condition of your heart when you leave your heart careless. Your heart must be broken up. Not everything goes. Dog pass. Rat pass. Look at every pathway that you see. Even when a goat is coming, the goat will not pass inside bush if he can see a road. He will follow the normal road. Hallelujah. So you must come to that understanding that in my life, not everything goes. Not everything goes. Because everything that is passing through the soil of your heart is doing what? Is treading down and making your heart compacted. So you must know that number one, not everything do what? Not everything goes. Not every advice you listen to. Not every music you listen to. It's impossible. These are the things that pass. Some people's hearts are so porous that they listen to anything. They walk anywhere. They do anything. They eat anything. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. These are the things that causes problem in the heart of a man. So in your heart, not everything goes. Number two. We must not allow our hearts to be hardened. We must not allow our hearts to be what? To be hardened. We must not allow our hearts to be what? To be hardened. Many people's hearts have been hardened. Hallelujah. Have you ever seen somebody that you give an instruction and everything that you tell him not to do is what he will still do? Hallelujah. You have come in contact with the heart that is hardened. You understand? Praise the Lord. I used to have a friend, and he used to say something. You know, in those days, we used to think it is something of pride. He says, don't worry. He said, Tinu minimashi. That's Yoruba. He said, it is what is in my heart that I will do. It's a dangerous statement. Say, I have willpower. God bless you. He said, it is the thing in my heart that I will do. That is a heart that is what? Already compacted. Nothing good can grow there, including the word of God. It can't. Thoughtless of producing. It cannot. Because that heart is already hardened. That's why it's difficult to do what? It's very difficult to change a bad habit. Now let me show you a scripture. Let's quickly look at Luke chapter 8 verse 5 first. Let's go back to verse 5. Luke chapter 8 verse 5. It says, a sower went out to sow his seed. And as he sowed, some fell by the wayside. And it was trodden down. And the fowls of the air devoured it. It was trodden down. Every time they tread upon it, it becomes hard. It becomes hardened. Every bad habit that is, let's go of it. Let's go of it. You say, no, honestly, I don't want to do it. I don't like doing it. But you don't want to stop. Let's pray about it. Let's invite the Holy Spirit. You refuse. It comes to a time. It becomes normal. You know, sometimes you wonder, why is it that this person is a thief? Why is it that he went to steal? It didn't start one day. He did it over and over. It has been trodden and it has been hardened. Now let's look at Hebrews chapter 3 verse 7. Hebrews chapter 3 verse 7. Hebrews chapter 3 verse 7. It says, wherefore, as the Holy Ghost said, today, if ye hear his voice. Now look at verse 8. Harden not your hearts. As in provocation, in the day of temptation, in the wilderness. He said, today, when you hear his voice, harden not your heart. There are some people, no matter what you tell them, no, they won't change. They don't want to. He said, it is the one in my heart that I will do. That's the hardened heart. And nothing good can grow on such a heart. He said, when you hear his heart, what do you do? Don't harden it. When you hear his word, don't harden it. How many people go back home after you have heard the word of God in church, and you sit down, pick Bible and paper. Now, what this man said today, what has it got to do with me? In what area did he affect me? You know, we don't do those such analysis. And that's why it seems the word of God is not productive or is unproductive in many lives. We don't do that analysis. How does it apply to me? What do I need to correct? What do I need to change? Many people's hearts are hardened. They are hardened. He has not said his own. Hallelujah. Somebody met my spiritual father and went and then after hot service, he went and met him in his office. He said, today it was me you were using to preach. He said, it was me you were using to preach. He said, there is nothing you can do about it. Ah! Hallelujah. If he doesn't use you to preach, who should he use? Praise the Lord. He should use you. Hallelujah. That is a hard heart that is what? Hardened. But he said today, when you hear his word, if you see it as the word of God, then you begin to shift. You begin to shift. You make up your mind to deliberately shift. Let it enter. Break up. So what do you do about such a heart? Number three, what do I need to do? Jeremiah chapter 4. Verse 3. Break up. Break up. Look at it. It says, for thus says the Lord to the men of Judah and Jerusalem, break up your fallow ground and sow not among thorns. Break up your fallow ground. Break up your fallow ground. Break up your fallow ground. What do you need to do? How do you need to tackle it? The Bible says, break up what? Your fallow ground. Why? Because it can't be productive until it is broken up. How do you break it up? Have you seen where they are breaking ground before and they want to plant? They use hoe. Isn't it? They use caterpillar. There are some people we need to put caterpillar on their heart. Hallelujah. And it's better you allow your pastor to help you with the caterpillar than for God to bring bulldozer. Hallelujah. It is paramount. You need to understand it. The reason why some people are in mess, the reason why some people are in trouble, go and find out. Somebody somewhere has warned them about that problem. That this thing, be careful about it. They refuse. Let it be broken up. You have an issue that you feel this issue can consume you. Discuss it with an authority over you. Be accountable. Break it up. Be accountable. Hallelujah. Somebody once met me and said, look, I have this challenge, I have this challenge. I said, okay, it's not a big problem. This is how we are going to go about it. I said, we need 21 days to create a new habit. So we're going to work together for the next 21 days. And after 21 days, let's see how far we can go. I said, so every so time of the day, call me. Hallelujah. I will tell you what the challenge was. Praise God. And by the grace of God, in less than 21 days, we overcame it. You know, when it came, because it was a big challenge. It was actually looking like a big challenge. But we can walk over it. Hallelujah. There is nothing the word of God cannot do. There is nothing. There is no heart that it cannot break. That is why, have you ever checked your scriptures? Every word that was used to describe the word of God, they are terrible words. I'm sure you know. The Bible says, for the word of God is a consuming fire. Is fire easy? No. He said, it's my word. Not like armor that is used to break. That's the word of God. He has, at another place, he said, his word is like sword. Don't wear that sword. There is nothing that is hard that cannot be broken if you will only allow the word. And you will walk consciously with somebody that can help you to achieve it as a goal. Hallelujah. You know, many people set targets. You set targets. I want to achieve $1 million this year. No problem. Beautiful. Hallelujah. But do you know, that's as good as that is, I've come to understand that many people never set a target to change a bad character. That one doesn't matter. It's a bad attitude. But they never set a target. They don't feel they need target for that one. Hallelujah. And what many people don't know is that the habit that they have formed is the one that is preventing the other good one from fruiting. They don't know. And when last did you have an assessment? You know, yesterday I was talking with my wife about one of their staff. And then we were just talking, and then, you know, severally we've talked about that issue. And you know, the man said that he doesn't like everybody around that office. He said, because everybody hates him. He said, and the reason why everybody hates him is because he's a good man and because he tells people the truth. Hallelujah. Look, when you are the only one that everybody hates, is a lie. You are the one that has problem. Basic. You know, that's a truth that many people don't want to absorb. It's a truth that many people don't want. They don't want to hear that. When people are complaining about the same thing, about you have a problem. You have a problem. Say, this one, he hates me. This one, he hates me. This one is not talking to me. That one is not talking to me. You have a major problem. Say, it's because I'm always telling them the real thing. It's, you have a character flaw. Hallelujah. There is a way you talk to people, even if they have problems, that they will change. Even if they tell you the truth and they don't want to hear that truth, there is a way you tell them that they will still come back and thank you. That's the truth. When it's so whereby you have become an island, and you are thinking now that you are the only one that is always right, something is wrong with your head. Hallelujah. When everybody is complaining about the same thing, I said, no, that's the way I was born. It's a character. He said, that's the way I was born. They cannot change me. You have a problem. You have a major issue. A major issue. And wait, it's just a matter of time. It will crush you. It will. It will. Everybody around you cannot all suddenly become your enemy. Somebody met Mike Murdoch. I've told you that story before. Somebody met, one woman met Mike Murdoch. She has changed work severally. Now she was on her fifth job in a year. Many of you go for youth. When you come back, I'll teach you on how to answer interview questions. Remind me. All right. Now, this woman, you know, when you go for interviews and they are asking you, show us your career path and things like that, and you have they kept checking it, and they discovered that in the course of three or four years, you have worked in about 9 different organizations. They know they are not going to employ you.
If they do interview and they talk, and they love you and they do everything, they will say, we will get back to you. They will never. You know what you have told them? Something is wrong with you. Within 3 years, you have worked in 9 different organizations. What happened? You say, hey, I just resigned here. What happened? I just resigned. It's a lie. You didn't just resign. You have a problem. The Bible says, break up the fallow ground. Break it up. Work on yourself. Is that time you walk? Is that time you make up your mind that you want to be your very possible best? If not, the seed will not grow. Your life will be limited. My brother said, that woman in a year has worked in about 5 different organizations. 5! And now she came. She said, sir, everybody in the new place hates me. He said, that was the problem in the other one. That was the problem in the other one. That was the problem in the other one. He said, they just hate me. Hallelujah. And you know the interesting thing? When she entered the pastor's office to go and talk to the pastor, she just entered the office and he said, he told the reception, the receptionist, I want to see pastor. And he said, okay, come in. And he just entered. He said, sir, I have some issues. My brother looked at her. My brother said, you are welcome, man. Good morning, man. At least let's even greet first. I understand that you have a problem. Hallelujah. And she was drawing seat and she sat down. And now, she has already told the man that she has a problem. You go to somebody's place, you don't know to greet. Hallelujah. And the first thing is, I have come to see you because of this problem. That's a bad character. You can't open your mouth to say good morning. What does it take away from you? Good morning, sir. Good morning, ma. Hallelujah. What does it take away? Nothing. Nothing. If you use sir, if you use ma, do they write it on your forehead? And when she finished narrating her story, Mike Mudo said, madam, now, this is what we are going to do for the next 7 days. Every time, every morning, when you get to the office, Mike didn't tell her any problem. So just when you get to the office, go from table to table. Greet everybody good morning. Starting from the gate. Greet everybody good morning. Greet them with a smile. He said, but I don't like smiling. And you say, everybody hates you. So I don't like smiling. People will take you for granted. He said, no, just fake the smile. He said, greet them with a fake smile. He said, yes. Okay. No problem. He said, so after 7 days, we'll have a review. The fifth day, she called. Mike Mudok said, good morning, sir. Mike said, okay, this woman is learning. He said, good morning. How are you? He said, where are you? I just want to see you. And then she came and brought a present. And the man said, what? He said, honestly, I don't just know what happened. Everybody just loved me. The same woman that said last week that everybody hates her. What has happened? It is not about them. It is about her. It is about your heart that needs to be broken. It is about the character that should be arrested. These are the reasons why God is bringing. Do you know that God, I'm sure you've seen this skit. There is a skit that I saw recently. I think last year it was very common that somebody was going for an interview. And as he was rushing, he came out with a car, one lady. And then when she just drove out of her compound, another car was coming. It was the man that was on the road that actually owns the road. But she just blocked the road. And the man kept on it. Madam is by her way. This way. She came out. Said, don't you know, I have an interview. I'm rushing. I'm this. And I started abusing the man. And the man kept quiet. And when she was done, the man just reversed. And then she drove out. And then she went. And lo and behold, when she got to the interview hall, the man she had just finished abusing was the MD of the company. The head of the panel. If you were the one, will you give her a job? Even when God is ready to bless you, don't truncate it. Man can stop the acts of God. The Bible says, Jesus Christ himself, when he was on earth, the Bible says, he could dare not do so many great works in their midst. Why? Because of their unbelief. Can man stop God from acting? Yes. Can the character of man prevent a flow of the anointing? Yes. Because anointing even works on the basis of estimation. The value you place on an anointing determines what flows down to you. Don't ever walk in dishonor. Don't ever walk in a place where you truncate what God wants to do for you. It is an aberration. Don't disturb your pastor. That's why pastors, we do a lot of investigations. Hallelujah. One of our members had issue with another member. With another man that I know very well. He had serious issues with that man. Serious issues with that man. And he came and reported. He said, "Sir, honestly, I've forgiven him, but I just felt I should tell you because I know you are close to his pastor. And his pastor happened to be a very good friend of mine. We talk a lot." Hallelujah. So when he told me, he said, "I don't want to talk to him because I've just decided to forgive the man. I've just decided to let it go. But I feel if he was paying me, I just needed to share it with somebody." And he spoke to me. I was angry. I said, "But let me take this matter up." He said, "Sir, don't worry. I let it go." Another time, about 3 months later, he came back and reported the same man to me. I said, "But sir, honestly, I'm forgiving him. Oh. You know when somebody is telling you, I'm forgiving them, oh. But he's still reporting it." I said, "Okay, no problem. Today, let me call my friend and ask." He said, "No, don't worry, I'm forgiving." I said, "I understand, but let me still make the call." So I called his pastor. And his pastor listened to me attentively. And when I finished talking, you know what the pastor said? The pastor said, "Pastor Adewi, God bless you. Praise God for what you have just told me." I said, "That one, he doesn't add up. What do you mean, sir?" He said, "Do you know that for the past 3 months, I've been doing prayer and fasting for this man? I've been doing prayer and fasting for him. Because he said, so-and-so person, including one of your members, did this for me." I said, He said, "Do you know you have given me the answer to his problem?" He said, "And he said this man does have a stupid character problem. And he kept coming and kept reporting and kept saying this and kept saying that." Very simple. And the pastor said, "Now I know what to do." And the pastor called him and said, "Mr. Man, today we stop the prayer and fasting. Because your problem is not prayer and fasting. Your problem is we need to flog you. Do you know why we normally behave very well when we are younger? Why? Eh? Because they flog us. You follow your mommy out. I won't say, where we're going, you are okay. Especially when you are going to greet somebody that they have a class, they are a class ahead of you. So when you get there, comport yourself, behave well. We ask you are hungry, you say no. Have you eaten? Yes. How many people have been in that space before? You now enter the place, you proceed, you greet them like a very gentleman. Well brought up son, well brought up daughter. And those people, they are eating, their children are eating chocolates. And you are looking, and your mommy look at you. Lift your face. I say, "I leave it. Do you also want?" You look at your mommy. Your mommy say, "Yes." Ayah. Hallelujah. And your mommy said, "We are eating." He said, "No." God be the glory. And lo and behold, you made up your mind to collect the chocolate. And you didn't just collect it. You quickly open it and eat it because you know that after now. Hallelujah. Your cane is in sevenfold. You will get it 30-fold in the afternoon, 60-fold in the evening, and when your father comes back, 100-fold. So if you do that, next time you go to that place, hallelujah, even when they ask you, "Do you want the whole world?" What will you say? "No." But now hear me. The more we grow, nobody threatens you with cane again. Then you grow wild. That's life. They may begin to grow wild. Because you know, they won't remove cane and flog me now. They will tell you, "Have you ever, you know I'm a pastor. Somebody looked at me in the face and said, 'Daddy, I know the maximum you will do is you will talk.'" Hallelujah. The Bible says, when you hear his word, harden not your heart. You have a good seed. But why is it unproductive? You know, many people don't sit down to count the cost. These are the reasons. So for a good ground, it must be a ground that is broken up. When Jacob met with the angel couldn't release blessing upon him until the angel broke his thigh bone. Nothing can be a blessing when it is whole. When it is one, when it is rigid, when it is compacted. Nothing can grow there.
Every life that has become life, that is blessing other lives, is a life that is already broken. Learn that. Don't ever, ever forget it. Hallelujah. And number next, develop a repentant heart. Develop a repentant heart. Develop a repentant heart. Hallelujah. Psalm 51 verse 16. Psalms 51 verse 16. Psalms 51 verse 16. Alright, let's keep going. It says, "For thou desirest no sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offering." What does he want? Verse 17. He said, "The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. O God, thou wilt not despise." He said, "God, all these things that you are doing, they are not what God wants. What God is after is what? A broken spirit." You know, I kept wondering every time I read my Bible. Every time I read my Bible, I kept wondering at certain things. What did Saul do? What did David do? What was the difference between Saul and David? We have looked at that scripture before. What was the difference? What was the difference? The man of God told Saul, he said, "This thing that you have done, God is angry. God doesn't want it. God, this is not what God asked you to do. But now you have done it, and God is angry." You know what he said? He said, "I did it so that the people will not talk." He said, I can't do that in the presence of the people. He said, he now told the prophet, he said, "Sir, please walk beside me. Let people feel as if I didn't commit anything. Let people feel as if everything is normal." That was what he told the prophet. And the prophet told him that, "Hey, today, your kingdom has been collected from you." Why? He doesn't have a contrite heart. He doesn't have a heart that can say, "I am sorry." Have you met people like that before that tells you, "I don't say sorry"? Have you met them? And you know when they say with so much arrogance, "I don't apologize." I know somebody like that. Say, no, I don't apologize. I don't say sorry. And with his hand in his pocket, that's, "I don't say sorry. I don't say sorry. No issues." Hallelujah. But when they told David, in the presence of the whole world, they said, "David, this thing that you have done is wrong." What did David do? David was sitting on the throne. The Bible says David tore his cloth right in the presence of the whole world. CNN was there. BBC was there. And he bowed down and he asked the prophet, "What do I do to repent?" The Bible says for 3 days he didn't taste any food. He was crying and weeping bitterly. Now, where I'm going is this. You will study your Bible very well. You discover that the sin of David and the sin of Saul, when you want to put them on the scale, hey, how do you think it will weigh? Ratio what? It will be like ratio 1,000 to ratio 4. That of Saul is just 4. That of David is 1,000, in fact, 1,000,000%. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. David collected somebody's wife. David killed the man. Hallelujah. You know, I was listening to a Bible scholar and he said something very interesting. But that's going to be our prayer today. You know what he said? He said they carried the Ark of Covenant. The Ark of Covenant just finished killing somebody. Who's that? You remember that story? And David looked everywhere. David said, "Keep it in the house of that man." So they carried the Ark of Covenant and they kept it in the house of who? Obed-Edom. You remember? And the man said this. The man said the reason why David kept the Ark there is because David has been hiring his wife. He knows that man will touch the Ark and the Ark will kill him. David. Oh, look at David. David said, "The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart." And David went far. Nobody could. Now, at the end of the day, God wrote the testimony about David in the book of Hebrews. What did God say? He said, "I have found David, a man after my heart." Ah, David!
Daddy Adogu said, if David attends his church, he will personally pastor him. He said, I will personally pastor David. You know, one day they said David is dead. Praise God. They said David is dead. They felt his heartbeat. So they said, but this man is as if he's still breathing. No. They said he's dead, John. You know what the elders of this council said? They said, this is what we are going to do. Look for a young girl, a young virgin, and set it inside. Lock the girl up with David. If she's still a virgin, after 3 days, David is not dead. So when the lady came back, they asked, did the king touch you? He said, no. David is dead. Can you imagine? That was the only way they could test whether David was alive or dead. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Can you imagine? But yet, God wrote, he said, I have found David. He is a man after my own heart. Why? Because his heart was contrite. Why? Because his heart was broken. Break up your fallow ground. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Number two. Qualities of a good ground. Number two, quality of a good ground. A good soil must have sufficient depth. A good soil must have sufficient depth. It must have sufficient depth. Now, the soil must have proper depth for it to be productive. The soil acts as a reservoir to hold moisture and nutrients. Now, the depth that a soil has determines how deep the root of what is planted on it can go. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. That's what limits many things, many people's growth in life. I once saw a particular plant, very short, and it has been there. The man said it has been there. It's been there for years. And you are wondering, why didn't it grow beyond this? The man said initially, in that area, there was a building there. So when they demolished the building, they now decided to break it up, remove the building, and then clear the topsoil and things like that. And then finally, they planted the mango seed there. But that mango didn't grow beyond that limit. You know what has happened? He said, because probably the original foundation of that building was still there. Deep underneath. So as it was stretching forth its roots, it hits that block, it hits that rock, it hits that foundation. And when it hits that foundation, it could not go further. So the growth was stunted. So a good soil must be such that it has depth. That when you plant a seed, it has the ability to absorb the seed and allow the roots to keep growing and growing for as much as long as possible. Have you not asked yourself, do mango trees, most of the time, their first fruiting is during dry season. You now ask yourself, where did the water come from? Where did the water come from? You'll be shocked that a mango tree, for example, the one that is planted behind here now, you'll be shocked that the root might be to that main root, looking for water. Everywhere it penetrates underneath. Why? Because the soil has allowed it to manifest to its full potential. Praise the Lord. So how does this apply to us? Number one, you must have sufficient depth and understanding of spiritual truth. You must have sufficient depth and understanding of spiritual truth. You must have sufficient depth and understanding of spiritual truths. You must have sufficient depth and understanding of spiritual truth. You must understand. You must have sufficient depth. You must have sufficient depth. You must have depth of understanding. One thing you should always go to look for in church is spiritual truth and understanding. Truth and understanding. You need it in sufficiency. You must have it in depth. Keep accumulating knowledge, wisdom, and understanding. You must make up your mind that you will not be a shallow Christian. Hallelujah. See, some people, they tell them today, it is this doctrine, you follow them. Remember, there was a time a lady woke up and the lady said, people don't use people, she went to hell. You remember? And when she went to hell, she saw some people using earring. She saw some people placing their hair. She saw some people doing this. She saw some people using this. She saw some people painting their nails. She saw some people, she saw all of them in hell. Hallelujah. Then she made a cassette and she made the DVD and started circulating it. Many people, I have a very good friend that stopped using earrings, stopped using everything. You understand? And so recently I saw her on Facebook with earring again. I just started out. I said, God bless you, man. What happened? The last time I saw you, you don't want to go to hell, so you stop using earring. So why is it? It's like that lady. I don't even understand that. They said that lady itself is this, is this, is that. You are being blown away by winds of doctrine. You are neither here nor there. They tell you this, you accept. They tell you that, you accept. They tell you that one, you accept it again. Don't live like a confused Christian. You must be rooted. You must have sufficient depth of knowledge. Simple truths of the Bible, many people don't know. Simple doctrines of the scriptures, they don't know. They don't have an idea. They don't. They are too shallow for anything to grow in them. Too shallow. No truth. No depth. No understanding. Why? Because everything they have read in the Bible, everything they know about the Bible, they were told. They were told. The one day I was talking with, I think it was Incan, Abraham, and was it Julius? That we were looking at, and we were looking at certain things in the scriptures, and we were discussing. And we discovered that everything, most of the things they told us in kindergarten, we are lies. They were not correct. Hallelujah. But you know, they told us some of those stories so that we can understand as youth or children that we are growing up. But many people have never read their Bible before. For example, that day I was sharing with them, and we, you know, we were just joking, and we were looking at it. That, for example, they told us that Jonah didn't want to go to Nineveh, and Jonah was angry and ran away. He went to Tarshish. So fish swallowed him, and fish went and vomited him where? In Nineveh, so that he can preach. So at that point, he didn't have any choice. He had to preach. But you know, it was a lie. He just told us in Bible Sunday school. The truth of the matter is that the fish took him back to where God gave him that original instruction. The Bible says he had to pay his transport fare to Nineveh. The fish didn't help him. It didn't take him to Nineveh. He took him back to where God met with him. And God said, Mr. Man, you are welcome. This was the instruction I gave you at this point. So at this point, you remove money from your pocket and you boarded a boat or a ship that was going to Tarshish when I sent you to Nineveh. This was where we met. So from this place now, Nineveh. And the guy, the Bible says he paid his fare and went to Nineveh. Grudgingly, anyhow, he went there and he still went and preached. Fish didn't vomit him in Nineveh, but you have never read it before. Hallelujah. God bless our Sunday school teachers. Number two, you must have a depth of character. 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 A man I respect so much said something very interesting that really touched me. He said, when you pick a tube of toothpaste, and they said, this is McLean. I'm not advertising for McLean. I said, let me talk about McLean today. I will change my toothpaste, please. In fact, they should pay me for what I'm saying. Hallelujah. He said, if you press the tube of McLean, what will come out? Eh? Well, is it not McLean? That's what will come out, right? If you press a tube of McLean, an ice cream came out, what will you do? Would you run away? Will you? Will you take such an ice cream? Will you say it's a miracle? Will you say it's a miracle? Or you plant mango tree. Then when it was time for it to mature, you just go there. You say, let me just go and pluck one mango and eat. And then you just go there and all everything you saw on that tree is orange. Will you drink it? Eh? You won't. Now here is the wisdom. Every time people push you to the wall, the way you react is the way you are inside. If they push you to the wall and they say, you're a very stupid man. I've seen pastors before on the road
remove cloth and pot. A taxi man, a taxi driver. The problem is that he's born again, but there is fight in him. He removed his cloth and fought. He fought a taxi driver with all his honor and anointing. When they push you to a zone, what comes out is what is inside. Somebody called one of my mentors a fool. I was abusing him, calling him names, and the man didn't respond. He didn't talk. He shouted, he spoke, he did this. Have you not noticed that most of the time, you don't see when they abuse most of the men of God, especially the big men of God in this town, in Nigeria. Have you seen that most of the time they don't respond? It's most of their followers that talk. The man just kept quiet. They now ask him, they said, sir, but you didn't respond once to everything they said about you. He said, the reason is very simple. He said, because everything he said, I am not. He said, I'm a fool, I am not. He said, I'm stupid, I am not. He said, I'm mad, I am not. He said, I'm crazy, I am not. I'm talking to you. Do I look like a crazy man? I said, no. So they said, you're a fool. Now you're removing cloth, you want to fight. You are really a fool. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Is a thing that you have kept inside that you are vomiting. That's what you are vomiting. It's not a miracle. You have it inside. Some believers will even tell you that we will keep born again aside and fight physical. Do you know what I'm talking about? You have done it before now. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Number three, you must have a depth of faith. A shallow faith will not withstand trials and temptation. A shallow faith will not withstand trial and temptation. Mark chapter 4, verse 5 to 6. Let's look at it quickly. Mark chapter 4, verse 5 and 6. It says, and some fell on stony ground, where it had not much earth, and immediately it sprang up, because it has no depth of heart. What happened to it? But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no roots, it withered. Hallelujah. You know, I always say something. Pray so that you will not need to pray. Pray so that you will not need to pray. Come for Bible studies, you won't come. Come for prayer meeting, when you won't pray, you won't come. Now you have a problem, and this problem defies science. You need faith to solve it. There is no single altar of faith because you have not even prayed for a prayer of faith before. You don't know how to believe God. You have never, some people have never rebuked headache in their life. They have never. Some people have never believed God for 5 naira. Then all of a sudden, they need 1 million. Then you now see them in church. Like a basatata. That's not how it works. There is no root. There is no depth. You have never believed God for anything. Don't force God into a corner that He will not enter. Hallelujah. You know, a man of God, I've told you before, a man of God said, some people, it's only once a year God hears their voice. January 1. Hallelujah. Has it ever happened to you before? That one of your friends, old friends that you have never, you know, one of my friends from secondary school days called me recently. In fact, when the guy called, he was describing himself. He was describing and describing. In fact, he was describing where he sat. I cannot pick his voice. He told me, I used to sit like 2 seats behind you. And he spoke. Do you understand? He said, okay, you can contact Rotimi and ask Rotimi about me. I said, okay. So Rotimi happened to be the president of our old student. So I called Rotimi. I sent the number to Rotimi. I said, Rotimi, do you know so person with this number? Rotimi called me. Rotimi said, all I'm doing, you don't know Benga. It's Benga now. That is true. I can't recognize his voice. Now you want to believe God. I said, no, God. There is a challenge. This thing, we must do it. God, come, Michael, come. Get blessed. Please, come on. Who is this guy? Hallelujah. Ah, they said, sir, it is bros, so and so. He said, eh, from where? I said, ah, is the mina. He goes, eh, 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 eh. He said, yes, eh. Ah, so, do we have him on our record? He said, we have him. He said, ah, how come I can't recognize his voice? He said, sir, it was 24 years ago that he called you. You know, everybody believes. So, many people believe that they can get many things without God. The only thing they take to God is the thing they think they need God for. Every other thing they feel, no, this one, I can achieve this. This one, I can do this. This one, you just need planning. This one, you just need vision. The power of vision. This one, you just need positive mental attitude. No problem. God is waiting for you. You must have a depth of faith. When you don't need faith, it doesn't matter. Confess the word. We give you daily devotional. We give you daily confessions. You won't confess it. Hallelujah. Because of the week, I was sharing with some of my leaders. Somebody takes our confession every Sunday. And the person converts it to, what do we call it? Daily devotions that they do. So they will just break it down. Like from tomorrow now, what we are going to put online, it breaks it down into 5 days. And sends it to his group. So tomorrow they will confess one. Tuesday they will confess. Now you have everything. Confess everything together every day. You will not. You won't. See, you have never believed God for anything in life. You have never. Then one day, suddenly something just come up and you feel, now I need God. And they are wondering, this voice sounds strange. I always tell you, when you know your friends, that is only when they have trouble that they call you. You know them. And you're always dodging them. But you do it to God. You do it. God said in Malachi, he said, this thing that you are doing to me, go and try it with your governor. Go and try it with your governor. And come back and give me a report. They said, we can't try it with our governor. He said, but you are doing it to me. God craves for a relationship. You must have a depth of faith. A depth of relationship with God. And finally, number 5, you must continually grow as a Christian. You must continually grow as a Christian. So people are born again, 10 years, they can't speak in tongues. They can't pray in the spirit. So people have been born again for long. It is still the same tongue that they are speaking, So people have been born again for years. Throughout last year, the only time he remembers to pray is when he's going out. He has never prayed for 5 minutes in his life. He has never prayed for 2 minutes. He doesn't have any scripture he can quote. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You must grow. Your spiritual life must not depreciate. It must rise. It must rise. It must come. You must be a continual, a Christian that grows continually. That's the way to it. That's the way to it. That's the way to it. By now, you should be able to lay hands on the devil and cast the devil out of people. You have been born again 5 years. What have you been doing? You are not growing. Hallelujah. You are not. And it's a danger. Because the devil knows you are neither cold nor hot. So he's waiting for you at one junction. He knows. He's waiting. Things that you just need to rebuke and, in fact, things that you need to hiss on the devil. For and forget about it. Now you are still scared. I've told you before, a man of God went somewhere to preach, and when he was preaching, he went, and when he finished preaching, he went home and slept. He said the only person that gave his life to Christ in that meeting was an old woman. And the woman came, he lay hands on the woman started manifesting. He sent the demon out. He said, went to his hotel and slept. He said the devil came, the demon he chased out of that woman came. Rocked everything in the hotel, scatter everything everywhere in the room, upside down. He was in the room, but everywhere in the sitting room, he scattered everything, chairs upside down. And then he said the devil sat down on the table, on the chair, and was rocking it. And then the man just woke up from sleep and was wondering, what's happening here? The devil didn't disturb the room, so he came to the sitting room and saw everywhere scattered. And then he saw the devil sitting on the chair with two horns. And he said, devil, you are the one. I'm going back to sleep. And the person went back to the room. And the man was going back to the room. The devil was angry. He said the devil was angry. Oh, busted out of the window and slammed the doors and the window. Everything slammed shut. The man said, the pastor, he said, no, I didn't leave this room. He said, hey, go back, in the name of Jesus, return. And the devil came back. He said, now rearrange this place. I'm waiting. And the devil went, table, chair. He finished arranging it. He said, now I cast you out in the name of Jesus. Bye bye. If it was you that night, I'm sure my phone will not ring. Rise up on your feet. There will be no network that night. Hallelujah. Raise your voice as you begin to pray. The Lord, walk on my heart. In the name of Jesus, walk on my heart. In the mighty name of the Lord Jesus. Is a serious prayer this morning. Why not say, Lord, walk on my heart. Break the fallow ground of my heart. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Father, walk on my heart. Father, walk on my heart. In the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, walk on my heart. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Everything, Lord, that you need to break up. Every fallow ground that you need to destroy. Father, walk on them this morning. In the mighty name of Jesus. My heart will not be hardened. In the mighty name of the Lord Jesus. My heart will not be hardened. In the mighty name of the Lord Jesus. Why not pray that, Lord, let your word that is like hammer break open the fallow grounds of my heart in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus. Father, make my heart a contrite one. A heart where good things can grow. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Lord, do a surgery on my heart this morning. In the name of Jesus, remove every heart of stone and replace them with a heart of flesh. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Lord, walk on my heart in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus. Why not sing this song? Create in me a clean new heart, oh Lord, and renew a right spirit within me. Create in me a new heart, oh Lord, and renew a right spirit within me. Spirit within us. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.